So I want to continue with the topic of Shabbos this week. We started last week. Shabbos deserves, I think, several weeks, if not more. I want to address today an aspect of Shabbos. Do you need a pen?
Please.
Oh. Everyone's got a pen. I want to address an aspect of Shabbos that I think that we overlook many times, but you find the Torah describing Shabbos in this light. If you look at the second rendition of the Ten Commandments in the Torah, it's actually quoted twice in the Torah, the Ten Commandments. One time in Parshas Yisro, which is when they're actually given, and then it's repeated again in Parshas Vayeschanan, in the book of Devarim, when Moshe is recounting all the story of what happened in the desert. But there's differences between the first and second rendition of the Ten Commandments. We understand those differences in many different ways, one being that when Hashem speaks, the Torah says, Achas diber Elohim, that God spoke once, v'shtayim zushimati, but I heard two things. Because when God speaks, He can have a dual message in what He says. When a human being speaks, we can only say one thing at a time. We physically cannot say two things at once. But when God speaks, He can give a double message in what He says. So for instance, what we're discussing here, Shabbos, in the first recounting of the Ten Commandments, it says, Zachor Yom HaShabbos, remember the Shabbos day. The second time it quotes it, it says, Shamor, guard the Shabbos day. So we say, we mentioned Lechadodi, Shamor v'Zachor, and B'dibor Echad. Then we say the word Shamor, guarding Shabbos, and Zachor, remembering Shabbos, were said in one speech. So even though it's quoted twice in different ways, we understand that it is all part of the same message. When Hashem speaks, there can be many, many layers behind that message, and Hashem can say two things at once that we'll actually take in and understand. So, but you do find slight differences, interesting differences, between the first and second rendition of the Ten Commandments. So the second time it's mentioned, the Torah tells us an interesting thing. Usually we understand the reason for Shabbos, the basic reason for having Shabbos, is because Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. So we remember creation, we remember God as the creator. The way it says the second time that the Ten Commandments are said, it says, Shamor Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, you should guard the Shabbos day to sanctify it as Hashem has commanded you. 6 days you should work and do all of your work. On the seventh day is Shabbos for Hashem your God. What you should not work on Shabbos, you, your son, your daughter, your slave, your maidservant, your animals, etc. Then it says, Bezacharta, you should remember, Ki Evan HaYisrael Beretz Mitzrayim, you were a slave in the land of Egypt, V'yotziyacha Hashem Lekecha Misham, and Hashem took you, your God took you out from there, V'yotziyacha Zekov Ezeret Ziyah, with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, Hashem has commanded you to make Shabbos. So, the reason for Shabbos described in the second set of the Ten Commandments is to remember that we left Egypt, Hashem took us out of Egypt. When you first think about it, it's strange, because Shabbos predates the Exodus by 2,000 years. And Shabbos is talked about in the Torah at creation. On the seventh day, Hashem stopped creating and Hashem rested, and therefore we rest. And Hashem at that point already sanctified Shabbos to be a holy day, even before, even in the times of Adam, Shabbos was considered a holy day. So then how could it be that we reserve Shabbos to remember the Exodus, when clearly Shabbos seems to predate the Exodus, and Shabbos, in our minds, is purely marking the fact that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. But it's very clear in black and white in the Torah that we should observe Shabbos to remember that we were slaves in Egypt and Hashem took us out with the mighty hand and the outstretched arm. So today I want to discuss this aspect of Shabbos, the aspect of Shabbos which serves as a reminder of the Exodus. Where do we find in Shabbos a reminder of the Exodus? What is that? What's the message to us based on that? And we say it in Kiddush. Part of Kiddush is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, that Shabbos is a remembrance of the Exodus. That's part of Kiddush. So in Kiddush itself, we point out this idea that Shabbos helps to remind us and focus us in on Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what's the connection? So there's several connections. I want to take you one point at a time. There's several connections one can make and different messages that we can draw out from this description of the Torah. So what one first basic message that we get from Shabbos reminding us of the Exodus is from the Sefer HaChinuch, which we quote a lot. The Sefer HaChinuch discusses that a slave cannot rest. A slave has to work constantly. They're always at their master's bidding. And whether it be the middle of the night, the middle of the day, whether it be a weekend, whether it be a holiday, if the master says, do this job for me, then he does it. He doesn't get a rest. the fact that we have one day a week where we have to rest, it reminds us that we used to be slaves, but now we're free, and as free people, we can rest, we can relax, we can take a break. And that reminds us of the fact that Hashem took us out of Egypt. So Shabbos is given to us as a reminder of those miracles and the kindness of Hashem. He took us out of Egypt, made us free people, and therefore, as free people, we can rest and relax and take time in our lives for ourselves. That's one message you get from Shabbos. The Ramban, Nachmanides, has a similar idea, and he says that really the essence of the day is to remember God as the Creator, that God created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh, but the description of it as the day of rest, to remember the Exodus, helps link us back to God as our Redeemer, to remember the kindness God did to us in Egypt, and it helps focus us in on God's relationship with us. So on the one hand, we see that as free people, we can rest on Shabbos. If you're a slave, you don't rest. And also the fact that Shabbos reminds us of the Exodus, it shows us how to relate to God. We relate to God as our Savior, as our Redeemer, not just as our Creator, but as the one who, we'll talk about more, as the one who actually saves us, redeems us, gives us the rest, gives us the freedom. And that's how we relate to God through Shabbos. So that's an aspect of Shabbos you don't see just from creation, but we tap into that through remembering the Exodus and understanding I have the opportunity and the privilege and the gift of resting on Shabbos only because I'm a free person. If I was a slave, I couldn't rest today. I'd have to be working today as well. Because slaves have to work whenever they're told to work. So that's the message of the Sefer HaChinuch. In our lives, just to make it a little more practical for us, that means that when we approach Shabbos, we have to understand that the gift of rest and relaxation and freedom from work is truly a gift. Not everybody is able to have that gift. Not everyone's able to take a day and rest and relax and cease and desist from daily activities. And the fact that we have the privilege of having Shabbos and the gift of Shabbos, it should remind us that we do have the freedom to determine our own lives. We have the freedom to do what we want. We have the freedom to make our own decisions. And we have the ability to take a break from the daily grind and take a day to relax and focus inwards on ourselves and on our family and friends, and not only on our job and everything else. So that's one very important message you get from Shabbos being a reminder of the Exodus. And I think that's a basic message we can see. I want to take it to a deeper message. There's a deeper point made by the commentary of the Malbim. The Malbim is a commentary. He spans all of Tanakh. He writes just about every single book of Tanakh. Very beautiful, you know, deep, rich commentary. And he describes a very interesting point. And we'll talk about the point in general before we get to Shabbos again. The point he makes is that Hashem runs the world in two ways. Hashem runs the world both through nature and also through divine providence. So for instance, we have in the world, there are laws of nature and science. There are expectations. There's things that we can look at every day that will happen. The sun will rise, the sun will set. There's a freezing point, there's a boiling point. There's gravity, everything which is predictable in the world. But those were laws set in place by Hashem at creation. And that's one way Hashem runs the world. Hashem runs the world through science and nature, that He puts in laws and concepts which we can depend upon, we can expect, and we can all relate to. And nature is predictable. It runs its course. We can explain it through science. It doesn't change. And nature doesn't individualize based on the person. Gravity has the same effect on me as it does on you. Gravity doesn't decide, well, I'm not going to pick up Bill today, only Fred. I mean, it's all the same. Gravity treats everyone the same way. It doesn't react to our actions. The science will do what it does regardless of our actions. If I'm a moral, ethical person, or if I'm an immoral thief, it doesn't matter. Nature's going to treat me the same way. So that's the idea of Hashem running the world through nature. And nature is something, again, we predict it, we expect it, we can define it, we can quantify it, we can see it very clearly. And that's one method through which Hashem runs the world. And that was set into place during creation. For 6 days, Hashem created the world. And what did He create? So He created all the different beings in the world. And then with those beings came all the laws of science and nature and everything else which dictates how the world functions. That's all one method, one path through which Hashem runs the world. But there's a second path. We call that Hashkacha, divine providence. And divine providence is different. Divine providence is individualized, based on, could be the individual, based on the nation, based on the country, the geographic location. There's a lot of, but that's individualized. Hashem acts differently with different people, different places, different types of history. It's not predictable. It's not necessarily explicable. We can't explain it through the scientific method. scientific method cannot pick up on divine providence. And divine providence, whether we understand how it works or not, responds to our actions. The fact that, the Torah tells us, if you do good, if you observe the Torah, if you're moral, if you're ethical, then Hashem will give you a reward. And Hashem will provide for you. He'll provide the rain at the right time, he'll provide the crops, he'll provide health, etc. And if somebody is immoral, unethical, doesn't follow the laws of the Torah, wicked, evil, then Hashem also reacts to that, and there's divine punishment and divine retribution. And that's described in the Torah as well. These things cannot be picked up on through science. You can't use a microscope to figure it out. It's not explainable. It's not quantifiable. It's something which is not predictable, but it's there. And that's another way through which Hashem runs the world. And our lives are a combination of the two. A lot of our life is, you know, predetermined based on our situation. And both in science and nature, in the period in which we're born, historically, I mean, there's so much that's predetermined and part of our lives, regardless of our actions. And then there is the part of our life which is based on our actions, and Hashem reacts to that. If I do action X, then Hashem responds in one way. If I do action Y, Hashem responds in a different way. And that's called Hashgacha, that's divine providence. So for 6 days, Hashem created the world. The Malbim explains, Hashem set up the system. He put the system of science and nature into place. Everything contained within our world, natural cycles, you know, ecosystems, how animals act, how people act, how the weather reacts, everything was put into our world. All the laws of nature and science are put into the world during those 6 days. Those are the 6 days of creation. On the seventh day, the Malbim says a very interesting point. On Shabbos, he says, what happened on Shabbos? So on Shabbos, we say Hashem rested. But the term used in the Torah is the word Shabbos. Shavas. Shavas is a term which we would translate, so loosely it's translated as resting. But the word l'shavas or l'hashvis in Hebrew means to cease and desist, eliminate, annihilate, something along those lines. L'hashvis. We talk about I'm trying to think of an example. This idea of when it comes to chametz, when you're eliminating your chametz. So we use a similar term. I think l'hashvis. This is a similar term used in Pesach. But it's a term of shvisa, means to cease and desist. So the Malbim says, what happened on the seventh day? Hashem showed that there's a way to override the system. I can take that system I set up in 6 days, and I can totally eliminate the system and function and interact with the world in a different way. So Hashem, on the seventh day, he put the ability for divine providence into the world, which means he can override the system, he can play with the system, he can tamper with the system. The system of nature and science, even though it is a constant, can be overruled, overridden, and used based on Hashem's desire for others, for some, not to others, etc. It's a way to eliminate the natural system and come in with a different system. That's what happened on the seventh day. So the Malbim actually gives an analogy. He says, imagine somebody, a wealthy person, and he wants to create a yeshiva, Institute for Torah Learning. And he says, I want all the students to sit, to study. I don't want them to worry about not having to go out and make a living. I want them to totally focus on their studies. So I'm going to provide for them their food and their clothing. I'm going to give them what they need. So he pays, you know, the big check, he builds a building, you know, he makes the Beis Medrash, he hires teachers, and they all sit and they study the Beis Medrash. But he has to provide for them also, you know, what they need. He has to give them food and drink and clothing and pay the heating bills and everything else. So what he does is he sets up a factory next door. And the factory has in it machinery. And the machinery is constantly producing what they need, the food, the drink, the clothing that these people need. So the factory on a daily basis is going to produce enough food and drink for this group of students. But this benefactor, this wealthy person who's trying to provide for them, he wants to make sure they're actually doing their job. Just make sure they're actually studying, not just, you know, enjoying the free ride. So what he does, he has a knob, and he can adjust the knob of how much food is produced based on how they're studying. So if they're sitting in their studies, then they'll turn the knob up. If they are, you know, goofing around and skipping class and not studying, they'll turn the knob down, and they'll get less food that day. So that's the analogy the Malbim gives. So it says that Hashem sets up a world, and the world should provide for us. And the world has its natural course, which is a factory on a daily basis. But Hashem has that knob, and Hashem sometimes will raise the knob, he'll lower the knob, he'll adjust the knob based on how we're acting. So the factory, if you don't touch the knob, the factory is going to produce the same amount of food every single day, regardless of the actions of the students. But if somebody's watching and sees that the students are goofing around, he's going to adjust that knob to make sure they know they're goofing around, to make sure they don't get what they need. So that's the analogy he gives. What it means for us is that, so Shabbos is the day where Hashem show that there's another aspect to the world. The world doesn't only run a natural course, the world runs also based on divine providence. And I have the ability to override the system and to make adjustments based on the individual, how the individual is acting, if they're succeeding, if they're not succeeding. Based on what they need, I'll adjust the system. That's how the Rambam describes the message of Shabbos. So, to tie this back into our discussion for today, Shabbos testifies to two fundamentals of Judaism. Number one is creation, which is what we discussed last week, which is the way it's described in the first rendition of the Ten Commandments, which is that we testify the fact that Hashem created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh, and on the 7th day, he stopped creating. So that's one of the Shabbos is the day where he stopped creating. He created for 6 days. Shabbos, there's no more creating on Shabbos. And that's one aspect of resting on Shabbos. And we testify to that. And we discussed last week how Shabbos is a testimony to the fact that he's a creator of the world. But on the other hand, Shabbos also is a testimony to the fact that the creator of the world has the ability to override nature, to intervene. He reacts the way we act. He's involved. There's hashkacha, there's providence, which is what is symbolized by the Exodus. Yetzias Mitzrayim, I think we've discussed this a lot of times before in this class. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the paradigm of what it means that God interacts with the world. It's where we see very, very clearly that God sees what's happening. He'll step in, he'll reward, he'll punish, he'll turn nature, you know, topsy-turvy, in order to make sure his will is carried out. That's what you see in Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what you see as the Exodus, the paradigm of that. So therefore, this idea that Shabbos is the day which where Hashem first put into the world divine providence, and put in that knob where he can adjust nature based on his wishes, that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim represents. The way that where we actually saw that come out to fruition in the history of the Jewish people, in the history of the world, was in Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was when Hashem came in, did the 10 plagues, he split the sea, he rewarded the righteous, he punished the wicked, he took for himself the people. And that's the paradigm of this whole concept of Hashem overriding the system. So therefore, Shabbos has these two aspects. We have the aspect of remembering the creation, the aspect of remembering the Exodus. Remember, the Exodus is our testimony to the fact that Hashem cares about what happens in the world. He intervenes, he reacts, he adjusts, he individualizes. That's what Yetzias Mitzrayim means to us. So to take that idea, again, to make it more practical in our lives.
Like,
so on Shabbos, one meaning of our rest, the fact we rest on Shabbos, one thing that we are testifying to and feeling in our lives is that we're emulating God. Just like Hashem created for 6 days and rested, so too we create for 6 days and we rest. So we're emulating God as a creator. 6 days when we work, we produce, we accomplish, one day we cease and desist from that. But also in our lives, the way we approach Shabbos, part of it should be that we view Shabbos as part of, in our life, as a day where we are tapping into God's providence. And in a very practical way. On Shabbos, it's a day to live with God, not to worry about the natural course of events in the world. It's a day where we don't have to worry about our jobs, don't worry about the bills, don't worry about what's happening, you know, in other cities, across the world. We don't worry about the normal course of daily life. We don't worry about the daily grind. It's we're tapping into a day where we're all worried about is ourselves, our relationships, Hashem, growing, praying. That's what we worry about on Shabbos. So we just like Hashem on Shabbos put into the world the ability to override the daily system. So on Shabbos, we also have to override the daily system. On Shabbos, we have our daily lives, we have our daily grind, we have those things that we worry about constantly. And on Shabbos, our job is to put that all aside and say doesn't belong on Shabbos. On Shabbos, we're not working within the natural system, we're working on our own system on Shabbos, the system of the divine, of the spiritual, of God. And if we do that on Shabbos, we're living a life of divine providence, not a life of nature. If someone says, even though I need the money, I should work on Shabbos, but I'm not going to, so they're defying nature. Normal human nature, in that sense, would be, well, I need to work, I need to put food on the table, so I'm going to work on Shabbos. We say, no, there's another layer to this world. There's a layer of God's divine providence, and God says, if you don't work on Shabbos, I'll make sure that you're taken care of. And you're not tapping in, so even though according to normal society, if you work for an 8-hour day on Shabbos, you'll make your salary for Shabbos. Hashem says, well, if you don't work on Shabbos, you'll also make that same salary. I'll make sure to take care of you. Because you're tapping into the system of divine providence, not the system of nature and the daily grind. So that's another approach we can have for Shabbos, is to make the day focused on God, on prayer, on tefillah, on learning, on friends, on family, on self-reflection, on growth. but not to worry about anything which is part of the natural course of society. That's another aspect of Shabbos. We cease and desist. The idea of Shabbos, shoveis, to eliminate, to cease and desist, that's the concept in our lives on Shabbos. Which brings me to one other point about Shabbos being a reminder of the Exodus. And this is a point which I think if we think about it, can really bring a lot to enrich our Shabbos. And the idea is that, you know, Shabbos itself, the way the Torah describes it, it says, you should remember you were a slave in Egypt. Hashem took you out with a strong hand and outstretched arm. And therefore, he commands you to keep Shabbos. So in a sense, the Torah is saying that Shabbos itself gives us freedom. We can view Shabbos as a day of freedom. Today, remember you're a slave, and that's why you have Shabbos now. Because Shabbos is a day where we're truly free. And understand how Shabbos makes us truly free people. Shabbos is a day where we become totally free. The way we view the idea of Egypt, Mitzrayim. So in Hebrew, the word for Egypt is Mitzrayim. The word Mitzrayim comes from the same root as a Mitzar. It's a limitation. Right, something which is, you're limited, you're bound. Mitzarim are borders, so it contains you. And even though there's a physical country, Mitzrayim, there's a physical exodus, but symbolically, it's something which relates to us all on our own level, on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, which is that our lives are all full of limitations. It's full of Mitzarim, it's full of Mitzrayim. And all week long, we're limited, we're bound, we're enslaved. And the fact that being a slave in Egypt means in our own daily lives that we're slaves to our own limits. We're slaves to those things which keep us in shackles. We have to follow, a slave has to follow orders. A slave can't do what he wants. And we're the same way. There's a lot of things we want to do and we can't, for whatever reason. It could be physical limitations. It could be emotional. It could be psychological. There's so many, spiritual. There's so many limitations on us. And even though I want to do so much, a lot of times I just can't. For whatever reason, I can't do it. I have so many things pulling at me, nagging at me, tugging me in the other direction. And that's the idea of being a slave. A slave is that it doesn't matter what the slave wants, it matters what the master wants. The master wants him to fry him some eggs. Even if the slave wants to take a break, it doesn't matter. The master wants eggs. If the slave wants to open up his own business, the master says, no, you work for me, you can't do that. Whatever the slave wants, it doesn't matter because the master is in charge. That's what it means to be a slave. So it's in our lives. There's a lot of things we want, a lot of things we want to do, and they're beyond us for some reason. We can't get to these things. We can't achieve them. So that applies to everybody in their own way, in their own level, all different times of life. But you can view it also that weekdays are days of Mitzrayim. A weekday is a day where we're totally bound. We're shackled by so many things. We're shackled by our jobs. We're shackled by our bills, phones, computers, shopping, responsibilities, carpools. I mean, there's so many things, you name it, which shackle us during the week. And as much as I want to pursue something in my life, I can't because I have so many other things nagging at me. I'm not free. I'm really a slave to so many things going around me. There's the news. I have to hear the news. I have to know what's going on. I have to get to this phone call. I have to pay this bill. I have to go shopping. There's so many things we have to do. On Shabbos, we're supposed to say that everything is done. The rabbis tell us, it says in the same quote that we're reading here, it says, 6 days you should work, v'yasisa kol melachtecha, you should do all your work. So why does it say you should do all your work? It should say you should do your work for 6 days, that's all your work. So the rabbis say, our perspective on Shabbos should be that all the work is done. Everything I gotta do is finished. When Shabbos hits, there's nothing still left to be finished. I don't say, well, I have something I have to do, but I'll do it Sunday. I say, everything's done. There's nothing else in the world. Everything I had to accomplish is accomplished. Now it's time for Shabbos. That's what the rabbis tell us. Kol melachtecha. Should view it as if all of your work is done. Kol melachtecha asuya. All your work is done. So when Shabbos comes, we have this perspective. Everything's finished. There's nothing else in my mind. Whatever had to be done is done. I don't have to do anything else. Everything is off. It's off the table. It's off my mind. It's out of my life. So now I'm free. My work is complete. I'm free to do what I want to do to express and fulfill myself. So even though I have a bill to pay, and Shabbos, the bill's paid. I don't want to think about the bill. The bill is paid. Had a phone call to return? Yeah, it's done. It's returned. I can't think about it on Shabbos. You know, if I had something going on at work, it doesn't matter. Shabbos is here. It's finished. That's out of my life. That's not part of my world. My world on Shabbos is a world where everything is complete. There's nothing else nagging at me. That's the world of Shabbos. So Shabbos frees us from these chains, these limitations, this Mitzrayim, these limits and these things which shackle us in our life. And just to give even a analogy. So we can, everyone can ask, you know, what do you really want to do? What do you, what's your real goal? Let's just make up a situation. Let's say somebody says, I really, really want to go on a trip to Europe. I want to go and see the Alps. I don't know. So that's what he wanted us to do. So we ask the person, why don't you go? So he's going to list for you. Well, I have my job. I can't take off work. I don't, can't really afford it. I have family, which I have to tend to. I have appointments. I'm just too busy. There's too many things there. So we tell the person, okay, well, I'll give you a blank check. I'll provide for you a personal assistant to take care of all your needs. I'll take everything off. You know, everything we're taken care of. Now you can go and do what you want. That's what you tell the person. That's what Shabbos is for us. Shabbos is that Hashem is saying, everything is done. There's nothing else left to do. You have no excuse anymore. Why aren't you doing what you want? Why aren't you accomplishing that which you want? There's nothing else in this that can get you anymore. But the difference is, we have to define, well, what do we want? What is it that we're able to accomplish on Shabbos? I mean, we can't go to the Alps on Shabbos. We can't travel on Shabbos to the Alps. That's what we want. And Hashem's providing for us cash. So what is it that we're trying to, what is the freedom we're trying to fulfill? What are we trying to achieve with our freedom on Shabbos? And the answer is, well, what we're working on is to express our true selves. Our true self is our neshama, it's our soul. And all week long, our soul cannot express itself because there's so many other things nagging at us. So I want to try to develop, tap into my soul, express the spiritual aspect of myself, express my connection with God and other people, but I can't because I'm so busy. There's so many things I have to do. So my soul just sits there waiting. And my relationships sit there waiting. And I can't work and develop them because I'm just too busy. There's too many things which have enslaved me, and I can't do it. But on Shabbos, my neshama now can say, I now want to fulfill myself. I want to go to the Alps, as the neshama says. But the neshama's Alps. The neshama's Alps would be reaching out to God, reaching out to people, and developing itself. So Hashem says, okay, all things that get you all week long, they're gone. They're finished. They're off the table. It's a different world now. It's Shabbos. You're ceased and desisted from that life. And once sundown hits Friday night, there's a new life here. All that other stuff is gone. Forget about your bills. Forget about your phone calls. Forget about the, whatever it is, the shopping that's to be done. Forget about the news. Forget about the election. Whatever you're thinking about, forget about it all. On Shabbos, you step into a new world, and now this world is where the neshama has been freed. And the neshama is free now to express itself, to pursue its goals. So I work on my connection to Hashem. I work on my connection to myself. I work on my connection to my family, to my friends, to those around me. Through the prohibition of work on Shabbos, I've actually been freed. And a lot of times we tend to view the prohibition of work on Shabbos as a limit. I'm prohibited now. I can't work, I can't check my email, I can't make my phone call, I can't drive to the store. But really it frees us. But people, a lot of us, we really feel the inspiration of a Shabbos, so we actually feel freed by the limitations. We don't feel limited, we feel freed by it. A lot of times it's a hump to get over. A lot of people, especially, you know, a lot of people who start observing Shabbos, you know, they feel very limited. But then people realize that it frees you. You're totally freed up by it. Yeah.
Are you saying the soul is free, or
the soul being our true self becomes free. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, our truth, to be who we really want to be. On Shabbos, we can be who we want to be on Shabbos, express who we want to be, work on ourselves, work on the things which are important to us. And we're not bogged down and limited by some the other things in our life which tear away at us all the time. That's the message of Shabbos. So Shabbos is a day, so again, just like this person wants to go to Europe, we say, okay, I'll take care of everything, now you can go to Europe. So for the neshama, we say, neshama, you have so much you want to accomplish in this world. All week long, you're so busy and you can't accomplish it. Well, on Shabbos, we're going to take away all those things which are making you busy and making you...
distractions.
You know, everything that distracts you, and I'm going to let you now do what you want to do. So the neshama we're talking. Obviously, to the person, there's things we can't do on Shabbos. But
can you say that Hebrew word again, please? That's what I'm
saying. Neshama. It's the soul. So.
Okay, I thought that was a soul.
Yeah.
I'm just hearing it used differently.
Okay. Oh. So we're talking to the soul. We're
okay.
Telling the soul, and now you're free to express yourself.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Oh.
Saying hello to
him. Okay, fine. But that's one idea of Shabbos being a remembrance of the Exodus. It's that Shabbos should create an Exodus for ourselves weekly. Every week we should feel freed on Shabbos. It's a day where we're totally relaxed. We can make choices which we can't make during the week, and we're expressing the purpose of the neshama in this world. The idea that it's supposed to reach out to Hashem we can bring out our true selves, we can reach out to those who are around us and connect. That's something which all week long we just can't do because we have so many distractions, we have so many burdens, we have so many responsibilities. But on Shabbos, all of that is lifted from us. Now, if we don't allow it to be lifted from us, then on Shabbos we're also distracted. But that's what the rabbis tell us. You have to view on Shabbos that all of your work is done. If we approach Shabbos with that perspective, and everything which is part of the 6 days is not in my world of Shabbos. It doesn't matter how many burdens and responsibilities and things are nagging at me during the week. When Shabbos hits, that's all gone. If we view it that way, somebody will feel this total relaxation, this total spirit of freedom. We'll feel like a different people on Shabbos. We say in the prayers Friday night, we say that Shabbos is tachlis masa brishis. It's the purpose, it's the goal of all the creation. Because it's a day where we're able to express our purpose. The purpose of a human being in this world is to express their soul, to bring out the neshama in this world. It's to be able to develop the neshama and develop our connection from this world to God. All week long, we're busy with everything we're busy with, and we can't fulfill our purpose in the same way. Shabbos is the day to focus totally on our purpose, on the meaning of life, not on everything else, which is really just a tool to sustain us and provide for our life. But it's a day where we focus on the goals, on the meaning of life, the purpose of life. So during the week, we use our bodies to express ourselves. And on Shabbos, it's our souls expressing itself. That's what happens on Shabbos. There's nothing left to do, and I can really live. And that has to be the attitude. And it's not necessarily an easy... It's easier said than done, that's for sure. Because when Friday night hits, and there's still things in our mind, they're still in our mind. And the fact that I really wanted to... whatever it was, I really wanted to do something, go somewhere, call somebody, and I can't do it on Shabbos, it's difficult, many times. I'm very, very busy. I have so much to do. When Shabbos hits, I can just drop it all and keep Shabbos. So it's very hard. But if our perspective, we have to develop the perspective. We have to work on it. If our perspective becomes that Shabbos is, I stepped into another world. Everything is complete. I really view that my life is finished and now I'm ready for Shabbos. So then Shabbos is a totally different experience. And you really feel emancipated. You feel free. So when the Torah tells us, you should remember that you were a slave in Egypt and Hashem freed you, that's why He gave you Shabbos. So Shabbos is another ticket to freedom. Shabbos is that you're in your daily grind, you're a slave, and Shabbos frees you from that daily grind. So if we live life with Shabbos in its true sense, we have Shabbos, we can have Shabbos in our mind all week long. We have to realize Shabbos, we'll talk about this more hopefully in the coming weeks, but Shabbos is something which should permeate the whole week long. It's not just on Saturday, but Shabbos is supposed to be part of our entire week. Because the goal of our week, it's what we're living for. It's the day where we're supposed to be able to fulfill our purpose in life, more so than other days of Shabbos, because it's the day where I put the body aside and focus on the soul. So it's not only a restriction to us, it's actually freedom. That's how we can do Shabbos. Yeah.
My question is, you talk very beautifully, and I really like it, but my problem is, I have, that when Shabbos come, our soul, most of people's soul, want only to sleep. You see, you're so upset. I talk about myself with everyday life, that when you come Shabbos, and kind of what you want to do. And I really don't know. It's kind of, some Shabbos, sometimes I'm really frustrating, because, okay, I will read a book, but it's usually not a religious book at all. And sometimes I'm sorry, it's not a very kosher book. Kind of, I feel I'm supposed to read, or and what to do, how to fulfill, how to understand what my really soul. Okay, if somebody, God forbid, is sick, I really feel that I need to go anyway to visit the person. Only one sick that I really feel that I can accomplish something. Shabbos that I cannot do a big day. But otherwise, I'm really kind of... It's very easy to compare with... I came from the other world, if you know. That when a person live in restriction, suddenly he receives freedom and he doesn't know how to use it because he has no design. And I feel that I'm not alone in this because I see what other people do. Okay, they invite guests, we have a pretty nice conversation. And it's it. Then people go to bed and waiting for Mincha and... Okay, understand my point.
I understand. It's an excellent question. Like anything else, in terms of spiritual growth, it takes work. Everything takes work, which means we have to think about, well, why did Hashem give us Shabbos? What is our goal on Shabbos? When I talk about expressing the neshama, well, what does that mean to express the neshama? What are we trying to fulfill on Shabbos? What are we trying to reach? And it's a slow process of thinking about these ideas and preparing for it, for Shabbos in that way, and trying to grab onto the time. So there's no easy answer to that, but the Shabbos, the most of us experience and that we see, probably is not Shabbos in its ideal form. We see people that may not be going to work on Shabbos, but to actually utilize what Shabbos is and grab on that opportunity, I think most of us don't do. But it would mean a day where, number one, even the idea of taking a nap on Shabbos itself is freedom. During the week, who has time to take a nap? You know, but it's a choice that I'm free. That's obviously on a lower level. That's a choice of freedom. But the understanding that, okay, now that I'm freed from my daily life, what am I going to do today? So the thing, what do I want to accomplish? I want to accomplish reaching out to Hashem. So today where I can focus and pray more slowly with more concentration than other days of the week, because I have more time, I have more focus. It's a day where I can pick up, hopefully, a book of Torah and focus more on that, think about it more, chew over the ideas, because I have more time, I have more freedom, I can think about it. It's a day where spirituality should be in the air. We hope that the conversations we have at our Shabbos table won't be the same as we have on a Tuesday night going out for dinner with friends. I mean, that doesn't always happen that way, but we hope it is that way, and that helps to enrich the Shabbos table and enrich our Shabboses. I mean, there's so many ways, I think, that we all could tap into Shabbos and the freedom which comes with it. We have to work on that. Now, I was in Atlanta last Shabbos, and they're starting there in the shul. Rabbi Feldman in Atlanta, he has this new program he's calling the Building Block Program. And they're taking one mitzvah every month or two and working on it as a community. So when I was there last week, they actually started working on the mitzvah of Shabbos as a community. So I went to a class he had on Shabbos, and he's asking everybody what do they do with their Shabbos, how to make their Shabbos better. How would you say, if you knew it was your last Shabbos in this world, how would your Kiddush sound? How would you say your Kiddush? Et cetera, et cetera. But their goal there, if they're going to work on it next month or two in Atlanta, is to work on understanding how great could your Shabbos be, how inspiring could Shabbos be, and how can we make sure that happens in our lives. But it takes work, it takes thought. It won't just not going to work and taking a nap, you're not going to feel this, you know, this great freedom and inspiration. But you know, each of us in our own lives can determine what is it that we want to work on Shabbos. How can we tap into the beauty and inspiration of Shabbos? Whether it be having more time to pray, to study, to spend time with friends, with family, to have just some time to reflect on ourselves. It says in Parsha a couple weeks ago that Paro thought, when the Jews said we want to be freed, so Paro thought that, well, they have too much time on their hands because they're thinking. So I better give them more work so they stop thinking. Because when we're busy, we don't think. On Shabbos, we do have time on our hands. We hope. So that's a time where we should be thinking. And then Shabbos is the day where we think about, well, what in our lives could be improved? How can we be better people? How can we connect better with others, with Hashem, with ourselves? So I know I'm giving you a very general answer, but, you know, everyone has to focus on
that. You give a good right. Ideas. You see, kind of, you build our ideas.
Right.
Thank you very much. So you're putting here in the class.
I'm saying each person individually has to determine what on their Shabbos can they focus on. But even the small things, that the opportunity to spend an hour with a friend, to take a nap, to read a book, even that is an expression of freedom, because on a normal Wednesday afternoon, who has time for that? You know, but when it comes to Shabbos, that's a day where I'm expressing myself. Hopefully we express more of the Neshama's freedom rather than the body's freedom. That's our ultimate goal.
Do you have a question? On the daily psalms at the end of the Shacharit, it says this is the third day of the Shabbos, the fourth day of the Shabbos, the fifth. Can you explain that? Because after Shabbos, you say Shavuotot,
right.
Good week, okay? But then you read these psalms on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, and it says this is my Sunday, first day of the Shabbos, second day of the Shabbos. Could you explain that? How Shabbos, what that even means?
Okay, good question. And this ties into what I was saying before, that really Shabbos should permeate our entire week. And one way we do that is that we count days based on Shabbos. The Torah says, remember the Shabbos day. So remember the Shabbos day also can be remember it every single day of the week. So when we count what day of the week it is on the Hebrew calendar, you don't say it's Sunday or Monday. You say this is the first day until Shabbos, second day until Shabbos, third day until Shabbos.
Because everything is being counted. We're counting forward, we're not counting.
Yeah, we're counting forward, but it's all a count towards Shabbos. So Shabbos is being mentioned every single day of the week.
It's the name of the week in Israel.
So when we get to the seventh day of the Shabbos, that's actually Shabbos.
Yeah.
We
on Shabbos,
say
we say Hayom Yom. We say today is Shabbos Kodesh, so we say. Today is the Holy Shabbos.
So Friday is the sixth day of the Shabbos.
Yes. We enjoy your class. It's very interesting. We love Shabbos.
Thank you.
I love my nap, which I think is the highest.
So Friday will be the sixth day of the Shabbos, and then Shabbos, Yom.
We say on Shabbos, today is the Shabbos day. Today is the Holy Shabbos.
And then
that's what we're counting towards.
So then we're counting forward again. Okay,
yeah.
I thought we would. Okay, great. Thank you.
Right.
I'm glad you clarified that. Okay.
Yeah.
You just touched on what I was going to say, that counting for Shabbos. But I think the goal is to bring Shabbos, bring Musar or ethics, whatever, into our every affair, no matter what we're doing. I think the goal is to change ourselves so that the light of God can be seen through us, all people.
That profound.
It's profound.
Very nice.
I'd like to get more to this another week, but the idea of having Shabbos permeate our entire week is that if Shabbos is a day where it's really a day where we're expressing our purpose in this world, trying to reach our goals in life, so then every day of the week is focused towards that, because it's a day which is the goal. Shabbos is the goal of our week, it's the goal of our life. And I'll expand on this, maybe next week or in 2 weeks, we'll expand on this more. But Shabbos should be looked at as every single week we have a goal. And the goal is Shabbos. And all week long, everything we're doing is really pointing towards Shabbos. Just like you're saying, we count Sunday, today's the first day of Shabbos. Because even when Sunday hits, everything starts focusing back towards next Shabbos again. Because Shabbos is the goal. It's the end post. It's where we're heading towards. It's a day of purpose. So there's a lot to develop in terms of that idea. And that's what I think what Stanley is pointing out also, is that the message of Shabbos is supposed to change us and permeate every day of our life. Because if Shabbos is the day of self-fulfillment, self-development, so that's going to have its impact on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday as well. But we'll talk about, hopefully, in coming weeks, how Shabbos is something which should affect even our weekdays. It's not just, you know, Friday night, when the sundown, Shabbos begins, but Shabbos is something which should be part of our daily life, and our whole life should be focused on Shabbos, heading towards Shabbos, preparing for Shabbos, and letting those ideas of Shabbos affect our entire week. Any other questions? Okay.